Where's the extended button?
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Call our guest line during the live show and talk about wine on air. Dial area code 646-727-3235. From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire. New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on, and our phone lines are open. In the U.S., call 646-727-3235.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boys Lip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borghese.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Lafayette Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
How this show has grown from, you know, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And yeah, that's fantastic.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Fuller Vineyard.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Gila Louder Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wines.
Heber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Bebock Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And now, it's the show dedicated to the wine industry. Although, sometimes we do get off track.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
Belvoir Winery. I've heard voices at the winery.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
It's All About Wine. Here is your host, Ron.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yep. A lot of thunder and noise and some rains in the area and all that today. So I think it's all done now for the evening.
Yeah, very good. Yes. Well, it's a sad situation today because of lack of. I don't know. It's there's still some. It's just our typical summer.
It's our typical
comes and goes. Yep, they pop up out of nowhere.
Human rain.
Yes. Welcome to the show tonight. It is All About Wine. We are just getting started, so if you're listening, and it is August the 1st, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, then give us a call and get on the program with us, and let's talk about wine. We do have a guest tonight who will be coming on in about a few minutes, and I guess I'll bug out of here and go get him on there in a minute, but we'll have a guest, a really cool, entertaining, and informative subject tonight. So get on the program and call us and talk to our guest and with Ron as well. And let's talk wine right now. Here's Ron. Woohoo!
Thanks.
Here's Ron.
There you go. Bus people were a little slow on that. They were drinking. Speaking of drinking, I have to share what wine I'm drinking tonight during the show. This is from Maple River Winery. It is the strawberry rhubarb wine. We talked to Maple River. They are in Castleton, North Dakota. And we were talking, and we exchanged some wine. And we opened up this strawberry rhubarb. The bottle, the front of the bottle is not a whole lot of information. It does have a sticker on it saying it's the Indy International Wine Competition winner. Doesn't say the year. 10% alcohol. And it says on the back, strawberry rhubarb wine, 750 ml alcohol, 10% by volume. Produced and bottled by Maple River Winery, Castleton, North Dakota. Creating fine wines from North Dakota products. This wine is the signature wine of the Upper Midwest. Fresh strawberries are added to rhubarb to make this award-winning wine serve chilled. And then that's about all it says on it. But interesting, it's got some nice strawberry flavors. The strawberry comes out real well. Undertones of the rhubarb, refreshing. not real strong rhubarb. You can, if you know rhubarb, you can taste the rhubarb in it. But if you don't know what rhubarb is, then the strawberry just sort of takes over, and so you're not really lost trying to figure out what that taste is. So nice, refreshing, light. You know, at 10% alcohol, it's not really sweet. I wouldn't call it a real sweet wine, but enjoyable. It's a nice show wine that we're having tonight. So I wanted to tell you about that since we did talk to the winery a few weeks ago. And, well, I guess more than a few weeks, we get lost track of the time there. But a real nice wine here. So congrats to them on their strawberry rhubarb. He was saying it's one of their signature wines, and I can understand and see why. It is very pleasant.
Very good. And they just shipped that to you as a sample test thing. You know, this is a I know we talked to a few of them that offered up you know, some things, and very awesome. That's good.
We trade. We do some trading, and you know, I send them a wine, they send me a wine, and we enjoy it with each other and all that. That's one of the fun things. I do that every once in a while. And I didn't have a North Dakota wine, South Dakota wine. I'm sorry. I didn't have a South Dakota wine in my collection. Oh, this is North Dakota. And so this, you know, helped fill in some gaps on it. So I've only got one more to go. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about here, at the winery, ever since we opened, I've been asking people to bring me wines from different states. I have 49 of the 50 states right now. I've used them. They're not just sitting up there for years or stuff. I share them in the class that I teach. We brown bag people and talk about them and stuff. But 49 of the 50 states, missing Wyoming, only state that I'm missing on wine. And Wyoming's still on our list to talk for interviews and stuff in the future. I am sure we will be getting a Wyoming wine to complete my collection. So I'm looking forward to that. But that's what I mean by, you know, getting wines there. Guest tonight, Gary and Rorianne Eubank. Little background while Mike jumps out and grabs these people. Let me give you a little background on how they came to be guests on the program. We do a festival at the winery monthly, a couple of times a month, and we have vendors out back and entertainment, just a fun time. And as we're doing this, doing wine tastings throughout the day, an informative wine tasting, I'm out there conducting the wine tastings and telling people about the wines and stuff. Gary and Rorianne were at the wine tasting last Saturday, and as we were doing the tasting, I mentioned, doing the taste. I mentioned the program I do and all. I tell people about the All About Wine program, and they were talking to me about some of the wines they've tasted. Gary is an administrator for international schools, and Rorianne is also an administrator and teacher. And they have traveled around the world to different areas, different countries, have taught during this time. They have also been wine drinkers, and they've enjoyed their bottles of wine. And as they were doing the tasting, we had an opportunity to talk for a little bit. I am pretty busy on those occasions, but we had the chance to talk a little bit. And they were telling me some interesting stories about some of the wines they've tasted in different places and all. And I said, would you like to be a guest on the program? And instead of just telling me these stories, tell me on the program. And they agreed. So great, wonderful. I'm thrilled. I'm happy that they can. And we have them in the green room now. We'll bring them on into the show, and we'll talk with them. Hello, Rory and Gary. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks.
Hi, nice to see you again.
Yeah, it's glad you were able to join us tonight. I just told people a little background on how we happened to get you on the program and all that, and it was fun. It was fun talking to you at the winery last Saturday. And I what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a blanket question, and I'm going to let you two run with it. So you have been in countries over the years teaching, and during that time as wine drinkers, you have enjoyed or not enjoyed many different wines.
I guess that absolutely sums it up.
I'm going to let you guys just tell us some of the countries you've been in, about some of the wines you've tasted, about your thoughts and ideas on what the countries are doing. And let me also throw in here before I let you start talking. Some of these are from years ago. So, you know, don't not go to some of these countries and drink wine just because you understand they're bad. They may have improved. So I'll let you guys, you know, tell us about some of the places you've been, some of the wines you tried and all that, if you will, please.
Okay. Well, we'll begin, I think, our one of our earliest wine experiences was in Sofia, Bulgaria, when we were at the Anglo-American school there. And at that time, the teachers were usually invited to diplomatic receptions. And at those receptions, there was always the Bulgarian white wine served. And it got to the point where you didn't even have to taste it because you knew exactly what it was going to taste like. And it was incredibly dry. And so by the end of the evening, you kind of had your mouth was like puckered because it was a dry white wine. And it was only one kind. And thus we drank basically as guests for, what, Gary, for five years?
Yeah, I don't know, 5 years, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then Gary will tell you what we did with a couple of bottles that got into our shipment in our next country.
Yeah, we left Bulgaria, and our next country was Yugoslavia. And we went to a nice little party when we got there, and we had some wine. And when I went home, I opened the last two bottles of Bulgarian wine and poured them down the drain. Not to say they weren't good, but let's say they don't travel well. So the Yugoslavian wine, and we were in Croatia, and it was, you know, very nice, and we enjoyed it very much. Rory's more the expert on what we've drank, but I'll pass it back to her.
Well, I wouldn't say I was the expert. Maybe I'm the more adventuresome one. Uh-huh. Before we leave our Bulgarian years, though, your listeners might be kind of amused by the fact that most of the wine, because at that time Bulgaria was the second leading wine exporter in the world after France, and it was imported through the state Vinimplex wine company, if you will. And so in order to buy the export quality wine, you had to go to a hard currency store. And so we could buy it, and it cost a whopping $1 in hard currency a bottle. Now, the state of the wine was excellent, and then with the fall of communism, the wine industry generally fell into a bit of a disarray, obviously. But apparently now they have recovered and are beginning to make quite significant inroads into the market. And certainly the countryside in Bulgaria is beautiful wine-growing area. Moving us back to Croatia, to Yugoslavia, we were introduced to a couple of things there, and one of them is Prošek, which is a Croatian dessert wine that's made on the Dalmatian coast from dried grapes. And at one point, I took a bottle home to my mother, who really enjoyed sweet dessert wines. Well, she loved this stuff. So every time we would go home, we would have to take two bottles of Prošek from Mother. Now, the key to transporting Prošek is that because it was locally produced, it was a screw cap bottle. And if you ever tipped it over or it wasn't standing perfectly straight, it leaked. So you can imagine balancing this as carry-on luggage to be sure that you don't have, you know, really almost like syrup, this Prošek. But it was a delicious, delicious dessert wine. And I really could definitely recommend that to your listeners if they haven't tried it. It is lovely.
What was it made from? grapes,
just,
obviously.
It's, yeah, very dried grapes, apparently, is part of the process.
Like raisins.
And I guess. And it's the grapes are grown down on the Dalmatian coast.
Oh.
So, yes, delicious stuff, if you like that. The other thing that we bumped into, actually, in both places, in Bulgaria, it's called rakia, and in former Yugoslavia, it's called šljivovica. Or šljivovica, affectionately called rocket fuel. It's it's clear, just like water, and it's made from distilled. The Bulgarians make it from distilled fruit of all different kinds. Although the ones that we tasted, Gary and I really can't say we drank them, because one sip and your hair starts to curl and your core temperature rises, but it was all homebrew. One of our local employees in Bulgaria brewed from pears, and the pears grew in his garden. And the same with our Croat neighbors. Their šljivovica also came from locally grown pears. Now, Gary will tell you, besides drinking it, Gary will tell you what we used to do with it in Sofia.
Yeah, in Sofia, they introduced it to me, and it was fine. It did burn for several days. but we
all
used
the
it. The bottles came with actually a skull and crossbone on it.
Did
because it?
It
was
yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
and it was some of it was purple.
Wow.
They would use it in the windshield wiper reservoirs to keep it from freezing in the winter.
Seriously.
And for your older audience, the Mimeo machines that they used to have,
yeah.
We used it in that too, instead of the regular fluid for the Mimeo machines.
Yeah.
And we drank it.
Right. Yeah. If you really couldn't get Mimeo fluid, and of course those kinds of things could not be shipped in, you know, we discovered that it worked beautifully, so we made our students copies with that in the reservoir.
So anyway, when they said that, you know, you want a drink to warm you up, it really did warm you up. So anyway, that was a local drink, and some of the wines were locally made.
Yes.
And pass it back to Rory.
Right.
Going
We drank a lot of the local. Remember, we're not connoisseurs, and some of the local house wines. When you'd go to a restaurant in Zagreb, they were delicious, full bodied. We would drink those. And, you know, of course, there's such wonderful research out there now that, you know, a glass of red wine daily is good for your health.
Okay.
Well, we had our housekeeper in Zagreb was, what would you say, Gary, in her 70s, I guess.
Yeah, in 70s.
When you kind of, this was the house that went with our job, and our housekeeper lived out in the village. And Mimi would come into work every day, and she always would go home and have one glass of red wine, locally made in her village. And she would always say it was za krv, which is Croatian for the blood. And Mimi lived in a third floor walk up, and chopped her own firewood well into her 80s. So maybe there just is something to the fact that red wine does have some healthful benefits.
Without question. That's why we drink it, yes.
For sure. Let's see. We'll go on to Gary. Anything else you can think of?
No, as I said, we got we acquired a taste for the Croatian wine.
The Croatian wines, before you leave Croatia, reds, whites, sweet, dry, a little bit about those, if you will, please.
Okay.
Well, as we kind of told you earlier, we were so burned out on white wine. I really don't think that we drank white wine after we left Sofia.
No.
We drank, as I said, Prosecco. We drank the sipping wines, and that was very nice over ice. We also drank the reds. The reds were full bodied, not particularly sweet at all, but lots of different flavors, and some of them were heavier with tannins. Most of them were pretty velvety on the palate, and they were just, they were, I guess, the equivalent of what you would say a French table wine. But they were by regions, and frequently in the villages, as they say in our housekeeper's village, they would brew their own. They would have their own.
Were they reasonably priced, or were they?
Yes, and all different price. Of course, there were imported wines, but no, the local wines were very reasonably priced, Gary.
They were approximately about the same, maybe a couple dollars a bottle.
Yeah.
Wow.
An expensive bottle might have cost you $3, $4.
Yeah. And again, that's probably changed. I'm sure it has changed. Zagreb's changed significantly since we've worked there. But right. During those particular years, it was very reasonably priced.
What years?
That would have been in the late 80s, early 90s, right?
Right.
Yeah. The week
only
there.
About 20 years ago, then. Yeah.
Yeah. But, that whole area of the world has just changed so tremendously.
So much.
Oh, I will. Gary, tell them your contest was with Wild Turkey and Schlivavitsa. This is a cute story.
Well, it's a cultural story. Our neighbors wanted to invite me over to test their Schlivavitsa to have a taste. So I had a bottle of Wild Turkey, so I brought it over so we could have a cultural exchange.
Yeah.
Now, I forgot to mention to them that I had been drinking the equivalent of Slivovitz in Bulgaria for almost 5 years. So at the end of the evening, I got up and said thank you to the wife and left her husband and grandfather sound asleep and went back to my house because they had never had Wild Turkey, and I don't think they have ever had it since then. But,
crazy American.
Well, it's just, it was, I didn't have anything else to compare with, so that was kind of interesting. But during our time in Yugoslavia, we were shut down for a while, and we were in Austria, and that was another adventure of wine drinking. So I'll let Rory explain part of that.
Oh, yeah, we lived, we were in Vienna as refugees, quote unquote. And during the time that we lived there, we had several friends, and one of whom was an Austrian gentleman, and he took us up to Grinzig. And Grinzig is the wine suburb. It's at the foot of the mountains in the foothills.
Uh-oh.
Are we missing somebody? Hello?
Hello, I'm here. You there?
Yes. Let me refresh, see if they disconnected.
We've lost them somehow. They're still showing that they're online, but we lost them somehow.
Yeah, if you're talking, we're not getting any audio.
We're not hearing you at all.
They're still on the phone line.
Yeah, I see that. They're still.
Now they disconnected.
There they connect.
They
all right. I'll let you go get them.
Back. Yep.
Yeah. interesting areas of the world over there. We have to remember too, like they were saying, that this was before the fall of communism in that part of the world. So a lot of these countries that are now democratic countries, and they're have their own constitutions and own laws and stuff, were all under communist. Oh, good, you're back.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Can you hear
me? We lost
now?
You. You just all of a sudden went dead, but you were still showing
us okay.
online.
Okay. So. Well, and I lost you. We were talking to me,
yeah,
which is not terribly interesting. Okay. Let's see. Where was I before technology pulled the plug? All right. And the Grinzig is in the suburbs of Vienna and at the foothills of the mountains. And it's actually in the process, they're trying to declare it a UNESCO World Heritage Site. There's been a wine tradition there since about 14 BC with the Romans. And when you walk in this area, picture little taverns, and each little tavern is a family-owned vineyard. It's actually called a hurrigen, and the hurrigen means this year's wine. And when the new wines come in, the Viennese, of course, this is a very, very popular and fun time for everyone to go to Grinzig, and you walk up and down the streets along about somewhere in the 1800s, by royal decree, the empress decided that not only did you have to offer your wine to the public to taste, but you also had to offer snacks. And each Heurigen prides itself on, generally you have a buffet, meats, cheeses, cold cuts. One of the things we were introduced to, besides tasting new wine, they had great big bowls. We thought it was like cream cheese. Well, it's not. It's fat. It's lard. And you say, yeah. Gary and I just went, oh, thank you, but could we taste something else? I wasn't brave. Hey, I'll taste any kind of wine. Oh, please. But a bowl of lard, I think I'll pass.
Bowl of
but,
lard.
Oh, lovely. Yes, lard. And they would serve with dark brown bread and spread it on just like we would spread, obviously, butter or peanut butter or anything else. So you spend your evening. Maybe you were in one wine garden. The vintners, either the grapes were in the back, behind where you were seated in the garden, and you just wandered in and out, helped yourself to the buffet, tasted the new wine, and then moved on. And some of the families have been there for multiple generations. One of them, they've inherited the same property from the Middle Ages.
Wow.
Yes, Middle Ages, if you can imagine.
Amazing. That just, and little vineyards. Each of them have little vineyards then, too.
Yes. They have little vineyards, and you just go up and down this. Gary, the streets were cobblestone, if I recall, weren't they?
Some of them were, yes.
But it's very relaxed, and everyone, of course, by the time you finish, you know, you can depend on how you might not be walking, might be staggering up and down the street, but it was not only wonderful to taste all the different wines, and predominantly white ones, and definitely brand new wines, you know, and then you could buy it or not, as the case may be, but it was wonderful way to spend an evening.
That's why they had the lard out to coat your stomach so you can drink more.
Oh, absolutely. Lard and lots of cheeses, all different kinds of cheeses, say things. And apparently it's a huge amount of work to own one of these Heurigens because you not only have the wine processing and so forth, but you've also got to deal with all of the food and prepare for that as well. It's a very, very big deal, but a wonderful thing to experience if you're ever there in the fall when this happens.
Right outside of Vienna in Austria. Then.
Yes. Right out. It's actually one of the suburbs of Vienna. It's take maybe an hour to get out there, and that's, you know, on public transportation. Which is probably a really good idea after you've had all that wine.
If you're going to drink.
Get yourself home again.
Right.
For sure.
I never heard of that before. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. After we would go down to South Africa. That was our next job. And that really introduced us to an entire world of wine. The South Africans are wonderful, delightful people to live among. They love a good time. Gary will tell you about a business meeting that he attended. When he went to the game?
Oh, yes. The businesses in South Africa, the ones I was involved with, which were tech companies, they all had a bar in their offices. And I first time I went in, and then it's like 8 o'clock in the morning, and they asked me if I'd like something to drink, and I said, well, a cup of tea would be nice. And they said, we don't have any tea. Coffee? No.
No.
They said, what would you like? And I said, well, and they took me into the room, and it was a, you know, a miniature bar, but it was a full bar. And, no, they do enjoy. I remember the first time Rory went out shopping, and we were looking to buy some wine for our new apartment when we moved there. And they have wine tasting. You can walk up and down the aisles and taste almost every wine they have.
Wow.
And if you want to, you can go back to the other end of the line and do the testing again.
Yeah. If you can imagine, I mean, this was something we had never come across before. And there's no limit. If you imagine some of these where, you know, your liquor stores are, oh, they're enormous. They're maybe the size of, what, a Kmart, you know, or a public supermarket. They're huge. And
wow.
You just walk up and down the aisle and just taste everything you want. So if you haven't had breakfast, by the time you get to the end, you're either, you know, can't remember what you liked or didn't like, so you buy a bottle of everything because you can really.
And their purpose was served.
Yes, absolutely.
No, they did that. They did that for also their different types of beers and liquors, but the first couple aisles were just strictly for wine, and they would have it divided out, and it was very nice. Never rushed you. They wanted to make sure you picked a quality wine, and they would tell you something about where it came from in the region.
Huh.
It was both entertaining, but also very educational. And you know, they were very proud of certain sections. And as most people know, in South Africa, they have many vineyards, and there's wine trails where you can take the your car and visit different wineries on the coast in the southern part of South Africa. So, but I've never seen people buy wine in such quantity in grocery carts. I mean, I went in there to buy a bottle of wine, and there are people that must have 30 or 40 bottles of wine they're taking for a weekend braai.
Which is, yes, and, which is the barbecue, so the braai.
So anyway, we got into the, you know, the way of things being done there, but their wine was very good. And again, it seemed like every time we changed countries, our wine index went up because they have an excellent quality wine. The disappointing thing we found about coming back here to the States to buy wine is they import some South African wines, but they're not the very best South African wines. So we miss.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we were there. We really enjoyed particularly wines from Nederberg. That was one label we enjoyed. Stellenbosch, any of the wines grown in the Paarl region. They make wonderful Shiraz, just like velvet on your palate. Pinotage, Cabernet Sauvignon, they are really just like gems. The color of them is so beautiful, and you know, they're such wonderful quality, and it's so very affordable. I mean, when the years that we were there, the South Africans, I think part of it truly is it has the most glorious climate, and you know, being outdoors is important there. Barbecues and outdoor sports, and so you know, you have this wonderful atmosphere of of togetherness and socializing, and beer and wine are a huge part of that. They also make a really nice, we drank more champagne there too, actually sparkling wines. And one that we liked was Graham Beck. Very nice, very light, a bit fruity. And it was kind of fun to be able, you know, you didn't have to keep your champagne for that special occasion. You know, you could have a sparkling wine or a champagne at a very affordable price, and it was just wonderful. Those are really real treasures too. Nice memories from there.
I mentioned that quite a bit to listeners too. Champagne is not just for special occasions. It can be used for a lot of different meals and stuff. So it's good to hear that you say that too. South Africa, it's all English speaking, right?
No, they have 12. They have 12 official languages.
Wow.
And so if you, for instance, go to court for something, they translate almost everything they do into the 12 languages.
It is bizarre. You get your phone bill, and if you have a question about your phone, then they have an extension. They have a number for, you know, Xhosa, English, Afrikaans, Ndebele, you know, you name it, all the 12 different official languages.
Oh, my.
Yes. So it makes life very complicated sometimes.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Directions for something, I can just picture the McDonald's menu board.
Well, most people, particularly we were in Johannesburg, and English was definitely English and Afrikaans. More toward the eastern, toward the Cape, there's, I guess, generally speaking, now just a sweeping generalization, less English and more Afrikaans. But where we were, it was pretty easy. All your restaurants and the services that, particularly that expatriates would take advantage of, everyone was English fluent. So that was also very very pleasant.
Yeah. Now, the wine labels then, were they multilingual, or were they just basically English,
basically English.
Were they?
Yeah. It also depends if you, for instance, from Johannesburg North is the capital, Pretoria. Once you get out of Pretoria and continue north, you start seeing the road signs are all in Afrikaans.
Yes.
You can go into a pub, for instance, and it would be hard-pressed to find somebody who actually speaks English. So it was an interesting country because it was very diverse.
Wow.
A lot of the guys that I did technology in the school and my crews were mainly Afrikaans, and they were all fluent in English, and they all, you know, enjoyed it. You know, they would go to pubs for lunch.
Yeah.
No
drive through the McDonald's. You go to the pub.
it was different. I mean, they more social. I mean, they would go and have maybe a beer or something at lunchtime, so it was no big deal. But it was still, but the pubs, the parties, they are very, you know, happy and friendly people. So anything like that. But, you know, the wines, you know, we fell in love with the South African wines.
Did you?
Yeah. Just delicious. I don't think we had anything that we were talking about it earlier today. I don't believe we had anything there in the way, because now remember we're red wine drinkers that we didn't thoroughly enjoy. And the South Africans are so proud of their wine tradition, as they should be. It's really delicious. Any one of them.
Huh. You know, it just, most of the, I think most of the South African wines that everyone's really used to, we see the Syrah, we see the Pinotage, and
that's right.
You know, maybe Cabs. But I don't think we in this country are that familiar with all the possibilities of South African wines. It's from what you're saying, we're really missing out.
Right. I think part of what happened, and it's reversing itself, but I remember during apartheid, when most of the trade in any commodities from South Africa was limited, was it, you know, that the wine tradition remained in-house, so to speak. And now, of course, that's all changed, and I think any of the South African wines that come into the market, you know, are definitely worth a taste. I think there's a definitely market. We enjoy them thoroughly.
Wow.
So I think the wine market is definitely expanding.
And they're still reasonably priced here, too, so that's a
yes.
big plus.
Yes.
Wow.
Are we now?
Okay, well, let's see. After South Africa, then we headed north again, and we were in West Africa in Liberia and Gabon. Oh. In Gabon, we drank French wine, table wine, because there really is no locally produced wines there. There is the people make palm wine there, but I've never tasted it. I think it may be sort of like rakia. It might be pretty strong homebrew.
it's definitely an acquired taste. Gabon was a former French colony, so their wine was, I guess, would dominate it. I can't remember having anything else except French wine.
I think you're right. I don't recall anything. And we would, you know, could buy it in the supermarket there. And they were, you know, just a regular French table wine, all of which, again, were very good. I don't recall anything, you know, that we said, oh, this is just not worth buying again. At that time, a rather limited selection, but certainly palatable and refreshing. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were fine.
Wow.
And now, let's see, now we'll move up to Egypt, where we are now.
Wow.
And Egypt, there is a large group that enjoy wine. I mean, most people that we know drink wine. And Rory can name some of the better wines there.
Okay. Well, in Alexandria, out of respect for the Muslims that, you know, do not drink wine, many of them, we euphemistically talk about our grape juice, and we like Chateau du Rêve, which is locally produced from Lebanese grapes.
Oh.
And we also, Cape Bay, which is actually a South African wine, is imported there, which we enjoy. That's a nice red. Let's see, what else did we? Omar Khayyam. Omar Khayyam is definitely locally grown. Most of the wine production at this point is centered around Alexandria.
Really?
And, but it's there's not a large selection, but we certainly, you know, we enjoy it, and it's kind of fun when we order it. It gets delivered, and every bottle is in a black plastic bag, and all the bottles are in a big black plastic bag with no markings on it. You know,
it
all gets delivered. It is absolutely delicious. We enjoy it, and it's readily available, particularly in restaurants and hotels that serve foreigners. So, if you would like to, you know, have a glass of Chateau du Rêve, then that's perfectly acceptable there, and very, very good.
And that was made from what?
The grapes are, it's made in Egypt, but the grapes are imported from Lebanon.
Oh.
They're Lebanese grapes. Omar Khayyam and Scheherazade and Obelisk are all local grapes. They're Egyptian grapes. Apparently, it takes a lot of skill to produce wine, because the Egyptian soil, as far as I've been told, can be tricky in terms of being compatible with the grapes. But
oh, really?
I guess Yeah, but I guess they're doing it right, because the local wines, although there's not a lot of them, they're certainly very, very nice, very palatable, and you can enjoy them, you know, with a meal or it just as with friends, which we, you know, we certainly do. It's a nice social group that we belong to, and among us, our group and Alex. So that kind of takes you up to now. You know, I can't imagine, though, Gary, I don't think we can count how many bottles of wine we have tasted over the years in our travels, homemade or on the market.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I'm at that point in my life, too, and I love it. I can't count how many bottles of wine I've had. So that's a good point to be in your life. You lose track.
And, you know, the other thing I think that we enjoy is that, you know, you don't really have to, you know the label and the year and match it up with the beef Wellington. You know, you can just say, this tastes wonderful. You know, this feels great on the palate. It has a wonderful bouquet. And it's, you know, it's all right to have a red wine with something that perhaps the experts would say you need to have a white wine. You might prefer the red, and I think the whole ability of people to say we enjoy wine, and you don't have to be an expert to really enjoy it. I mean, go ahead.
No, I just want to say, and that's basically the theme for this show. You know, let's make wine less intimidating and more friendly to everyone.
Well, Gary and I are doing our bit around the world to make that true, because, you know, and it's like the other day, I mean, we enjoyed the wine that we bought when we visited you. We bought spice. Oh, my gosh, that was delicious. Lovely.
Thank you. That's one of Mike's favorites, too.
Well, it's he's got excellent taste. We'll definitely concur. And of course, Gary's ready to have his port. That's his personal favorite.
Port's very popular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we haven't opened yours yet, but we're looking forward to what's going to happen very, very soon. Do you have questions for Gary and I?
Mike, do you have any questions?
I was thinking, you know, I've been researching stuff while you're mentioning all these places and just having a great time and some great stories. I looked up the Graham Beck Wines website. They're very much into conservation, protecting their natural environment out there and what they do and everything. And it's really a nice website. They have some great looking wines. There's no way we could get those here. Do you have any kind of a blog or website where you're writing all this down? For people.
Oh,
I mean, that's amazing stories.
Gracious.
You have a lot of great stories. This is fantastic.
You know, most people that we run into, we sit down. Saw my doctor a couple weeks ago, and I think I spent a little bit longer than I usually do. Because he talks to me, he says, "Oh, these are great stories. You should be writing these down." I said,
"Yeah."
Well, and the ones we told you tonight are just mainly based around wine adventures, but there's others. But no, we don't. We just, you know, enjoy remembering them ourselves, and we talk to people, and, you know, people find things interesting. Our lifestyle is a little bit different, but we know a lot of people who have more unique lifestyles than us, so we all enjoy sharing stories. So that's what happens. No, we don't have anything on a technical level.
Right. We've always said when we grow up and start running around the world and actually do come home, we'll probably write the great book. But of course, we just hope we do that before the senior moment set in, so we can remember. Mike, we'll have to look you up, okay? If I forget what we said.
Absolutely. Are there any countries that you visited or maybe wanted to visit? You know, back then, I guess I don't know how else to put that. But are there any that you have visited or would like to visit that you wouldn't now because of maybe the changes that have gone on over there, or are you pretty comfortable in going back to any one of those places?
It's the thing about going back and having traveled. We've been through like most of Europe. We lived there for almost 15 years, so we've visited most of the countries, and we have tasted wines in probably most of them. But no, going back, it's sometimes interesting to see political changes, economic changes, going from communism to more of a democratic type of government. People generally don't change. It's just going back and seeing all the, you know, new buildings going on, progress going on, sometimes regression going back. I would go back to any place we've ever been.
Yeah, I completely agree. Because, you know, every time, whatever period of time culturally or politically that we have been in a country, remember, first and foremost, we are there, you know, Gary's an administrator and I'm a teacher, and that's our primary purpose. And so the children are, you know, pretty much the same all over the world. So the fact that we live day to day, like people ask us now, oh, aren't you afraid to go back to Egypt? Well, no, not, you know, we haven't been advised that there's any reason for concern. So when the time comes, we will go back to work. And, you know, it's no one's got a crystal ball. It was funny, you know, when one job we were hired, they said, oh, we're just afraid you're going to be bored. Nothing happens here. Well, you know, they had a revolution. And so you just, no one's got a crystal ball. You do the best you can. You don't make foolish decisions and put yourself in harm's way. But no, to answer your questions, they've all been, you know, every one of them has had some kind of wonderful memories. And I mean, we feel very blessed to be so enriched and have had such amazing things happen to us and experiences, at least on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that's amazing. Great stories. Very enjoyable. No, that's all I have.
Okay.
Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was. It was very enjoyable. I'm glad you two agreed to be on the show with us tonight. Some great stories from those countries over there. Not being able to visit them firsthand and have someone that has and tell us about some of the wines and stuff has really been, you know, really quite enjoyable. I was thinking of something while Mike was talking, and it slipped my mind now. One of those senior moments.
That's okay. I'll probably forget you said it.
You're much too young to have those. Come on.
Yeah. Well, the sad thing is my senior moment started when I was like 24. So
well, that just proves that you're very sophisticated.
There you go. That's it. The wines that you drink now, do you seek out some of the ones you've had in the past, or are you just jumping up and finding new ones?
No. We just like when I'm home, I like anything by Sutter Home. You know, almost anything they make, I'm happy with that. I like Com Canin's Pinot Noir. And that's kind of a funny story. I had never had a Pinot Noir, and I was on an airline flight, and the flight attendant said, would you like to try Pinot Noir? And I said, oh, of course. Like, you know, sure, I'm not going to tell her I don't know what that is. And I said to Gary, oh, my gosh, this is just delicious. You know, so I'll add that to my collection with the Shirazes and the Cabernet Sauvignons and the Pinotage. So, you know, it's we've had so many nice experiences tasting all different kinds of things that we're just pretty flexible. And if someone, you know, gives us a bottle or suggests something, or I just say, oh, this is one I haven't tried, so we'll pick that up.
Like the plantation spice and the port. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
That was a very pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
I had no idea what to expect. Most people don't even think of Florida and wine in the same sentence. So I'm still searching for my, you know, lost South African loves. I still have a desire to, you know, to relive some of the wonderful times we had with that. But there's just still haven't, you know, started coming into this country in the levels that we had were used to drinking. So anyway, that's my one desire.
There's,
and every once in a while, Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm just going to say there's a second career for you. Become an importer and import some South African wines.
Okay.
No, that might be very dangerous. Yeah, I do get into my job.
Sell,
no, it was. We do plan on visiting you again. It was a pleasure to go out there, and I've enjoyed the port so much. I don't open it because I'm afraid it won't be here very long.
Once you open it, it's going to be gone. You need to come get more.
That's right. For sure.
Well, it's been very nice speaking to you, gentlemen, and
you all,
well, audience.
You.
Hey. Well, thank you. You made us feel so at ease, and you certainly have made us feel very welcome on the show. And it was
That's great.
Really fun for us to talk to you. And Mike, nice to talk to you. And
thank you.
Ron, I guess we'll be out to see you. I got to get some more of that spice. And for your listeners out there, you know, if you're ever down there at Florida State Winery, we can tell you there's some great stuff out there.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. This was the
pleasure
announcement. Bye. thank you very much. And I will look
thank
forward
you.
To seeing you guys. Thank you for taking your time out this evening and joining us on the program. It was very entertaining, very informative, and really a lot of fun. So have yourself a
The pleasure
great
was ours, day. Ron. Thanks.
All right.
Take
you.
Good care. Take good night.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night. Yeah. All right.
Wow, very good. That
wow.
was fun.
Yeah, I have been sending little notes on Twitter constantly, and just amazing. I don't know how many I sent out during the show, but it was quite a bit. That was great, great information. I love that
it
rocket
really was.
Fuel.
yeah, rocket fuel. Yeah. Yeah, toner. They're using it for mimeograms.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's like, who was the first person who thought about milking a cow? And they're like, who would think of putting that into a toner machine?
Yeah, and the what do you say, the windshield wipers to clean them out or something?
Keep it from freezing and clean it out.
mm-hmm. Yeah. What else? Yeah, that was good.
And people drink that stuff. I mean, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Well, people eat habanero chilies and the ghost chilies and all that kind of stuff too. So there's interesting bunches out there. But wow,
interesting taste. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, this might be a good idea. Yeah, very enjoyable. Really, really, really liked the. Great guest. I wish we had them on when we were discussing the European countries. We could have had them.
Me too. Have them tell us about some of those. There, yeah. But, with South Africa, though, that speaking English, maybe we can call a winery down there and maybe get one of those on someday. That might be a possibility. They're just a few hours ahead of us, so we might have to do a daytime interview and then re-air it. But still, that would...
Yeah. Oh, it was great. And I was on the Graham Beck South Africa website. They have a really nice website and talks about quite a bit in their game preserve and everything. And
wow.
It's very interesting. But let's see what else. I'll send you a link to that just so you can take a look. But you have to go through their check first before you can get on their website because it says I am of legal age in my country to drink wine. So,
wow.
And then you have to select your country and check the box before you get into their website. but it is
that's
well done.
Going to
and,
ship to every country,
Yeah. That would be interesting. Wow, to get something from over there. That says order from our selection of fine wines. See, we pick up stuff like this on the show. All these winers are out there, and we're looking at wines from South Africa right now. So you need to get on the program and discuss your wines on here because and I can't get to that. Very good. You wanted to discuss you have some real estate or is that for next time?
Let me talk. We always do our real estate thing. I got the latest one in here. I'm still not hearing from any real estate agents. I'm emailing these agents and trying to get somebody on who can do like a monthly segment every 3 or 4 weeks, tell us about what's available and stuff like that. and I'm not getting any responses from them. I mean, you know, hey, you know, if they don't want to do it, okay, but, you know, at least say, no, I don't want to do it. Boy, this is a cool website, Graham Beck. You know.
You got the link. Okay. Good.
Yes, yeah. I'm just sitting there glancing at it now. Just a couple of them. The latest one only has two of them. And like my engineer here pointed out, it's because we have been selling so well on the program that everything has sold. So we'll keep it up. And, you know, there's only two properties left after all of that. So it works. Ooh. So you agents out there, you know, come on. Look, it works. But a couple of quick ones. Long-term ground lease in RRV. RRV.
Huh?
I don't know. It's a long-term ground lease. 28 level acres with irrigation pond, not tiger salamander habitat.
What?
Yeah. That's a, yeah. RRV. RRV. What?
Are you saying like the letter R or like A-R-E or R-O-U-R?
No, R is in the letter R. R, again, okay. As in the letter R. V as in V, Victor. Ralph Victor, RRV. So it says is long-term ground lease in RRV. I can't picture RRV. What's RRV? I'm trying to.
It's not like, they're not talking about RRV land. I got to see that.
I don't know.
North Dakota. Where's that located? Is that in North
Dakota? Doesn't say. All it says is long-term ground lease in RRV. 28 level acres with irrigation pond, not tiger salamander habitat. So obviously.
The only match I'm.
Can't do.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just finding information from Red River Valley, North Dakota area, but I don't know if that's what location you're talking about.
It might be, but tiger salamander habitat, is that, it might be in that area because tiger salamander is protected, and so if you can't do anything to it.
You're talking and I'm
typing, yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. It doesn't say a price. It doesn't say any. That's it. I read, and it's got a phone number, and that's it. What's that? And because there's only two of them here, and that's one of the two. Yeah. But RRP.
Okay.
I don't know. Tiger Salamander. So if anybody out there, you know what RRV is, you want to lease some land. There's 28 level acres with an irrigation pond.
Wow.
I guess it's grape. I don't know. That's interesting. I'm going to call that number tomorrow and ask them about it. And then Temecula Wine Country. This is a developer's investor's dream. 136.5 acres currently in grapefruit, which is an income, perfect for mixed-use development. So you can keep part of the grapefruit and plant grapevines there, and so the grapefruit will pay for the grapevines and pay for the land while you're growing the grapevines, and you have your winery. This is only $5.6 million in Temecula. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Then you wonder.
That's what you have. Yeah.
Yeah. So
how long has that been?
And those are the only two this time. This book, though. It's not a book. It's a flyer. Wine Country. It's a obvious thing. Because of the time of year, and we are harvesting. Everybody around is really starting to get heavy into harvesting. There's a whole section of grapes here. You can get a whole section of bulk wine. This is the time of year when they really start coming out with all this. You've got Santa Cruz Mountains Merlot for sale, St. Helena Westside Cab, North Coast Tribuno Grapes, Santa Ynez Grapes Cab, and Cabernet Franc, and Merlot, and Syrah. You've got wine grapes for sale from the Monterey area. There's Los Caneros again. Premium RRV Hillside Pinot Noir. Here we go again with the RRV. Zumbido grapes for sale from South Monterey, Russian River. Yeah, Red River Valley. Yeah, maybe it's Texas. No, maybe it's Russian River. Russian River Valley. RRV could be Russian River. Yeah, that could be. But here's the Russian River Chardonnay and Pinot Gris. You've got high-quality grapes from Paso Robles area. Well, a lot of different ones from Paso Robles. Sonoma and Lake County, Napa Valley grapes. Here you go. And I mentioned this before, and this is good. I mentioned that Napa, we buy and sell grapes by the ton. All these things here are available by the ton. This is the price that we price grapes on. This is the means we do it. If you're a grower and you're going to sell me grapes, we're going to negotiate a price by the ton of grapes. A typical acre gets about 5 ton of grapes, give or take a little bit. But that's, some grapes are very prolific, and so they try to cut it down 5 tons. Some don't quite make it, but that's usually the medium that you look at. 5 tons of grapes, and that's how we buy and sell. Here's some examples here of prices, and this is interesting. Paso Robles, Cabernet Sauvignon, 245 tons of Cabernet at $1,800 a ton from Paso Robles. Here, let's see another price here. Here's another price. Cabernet Sauvignon. 6.5 tons from $2,000 a ton. This is from the coastal vineyards of the Monterey area. There's Hilltop Cabernet Sauvignon, approximately 1,000 feet elevation from Sonoma, $2,450 a ton. And it says negotiable. I'm trying to find some. Oh, here, Sangiovese. Oh, this doesn't say where this is. So Sangiovese, $1,300 a ton. But Napa, and the reason I bring all this up here, here's Napa. Here's grapes from Napa, Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot from Napa, and the Cabernet Sauvignon from Napa, $4,750 a ton from the Okno district. So these, Napa is expensive, and this is one of the things that I'm always trying to point out to people. This is one of the reasons why Napa wine is expensive, because the grapes are expensive, because it's so unique and so good. But now's the time. If you're out there and you're looking at getting grapes, now is the time to get grapes. Now is the time to buy them. If you're because they're being harvested now, they want to move them, they want to get them out of there. You need to get them while they're fresh. You don't want them sitting around for a while or anything, so they'll start fermenting. But that's our real estate and grape section for this time.
Wow.
And so that's it. We had a great guest tonight. It was fun. It was a fun guest tonight.
Yeah.
I'm glad I was able to talk to him. We will head back to Texas next week and start talking to more Texas wine. There's a lot of them, so.
Okay. Put that down. All right, cool. So on August the 8th, we'll go back to Texas, although it's okay to take a little detour every once in a while. And
yeah.
Definitely enjoy tonight's guest. Everybody out there listening in the area, don't forget to mark these dates on your calendars. They are coming up quick. A few months ago it wasn't, but now we're already in August. So September the 7th, this is a great cause. It's Grandma's Girls Making Strides Against Breast Cancer. It's the event at Florida State's Winery, and that's September the 7th. So mark your calendars, visit the winery, and you'll help out a great cause there. Also on October the 5th, because before we know it, it'll be October the 1st.
Yeah.
It's the past
Pasco Pet Fest fundraisers, and those will also be held. That'll also be held at the Florida State's winery on October the 5th. Don't forget to stop by the winery anytime during normal business hours. And
little side note on that Pet Fest that's coming up. That is developing into being a huge event. We the people who are putting that on and working with us, they've already got something like 45 vendors to come out. You will have yourself a great selection. And you'll have yourself a great selection of vendors to wander around. You can have a glass of wine and wander around and shop vendors. A lot of them are offering prizes, door prizes and stuff to help the fundraising cause. There's going to be all sorts of things going on that day. It's a great event for a great cause. It's turning out to be just really it's exploding. We've got all sorts of people committing to it and all that stuff. So,
is this the first time you've had it at the winery, or
this is the first time we've had this particular group there? Yes, and they've done a great job at promoting it. They've done a great job at getting out there and getting people, vendors on it. And it's a pet rescue. There'll be pets for adoption. We'll have other pet groups out there. We are pet friendly, so you know, as long as they're on leash and they're good, then we'll have them out there. You can have them out there.
Great.
So, it's becoming. You mentioned it, and I just want to say it's really starting to become a fantastic event. So it's a good thing to mark your calendars on and look forward to there. And it's for a great cause.
Yes, absolutely. So that's October the 5th, and you'll probably be hearing more about it as the date arises right here on All About Wine. And don't forget to bring a donation of pet food during normal business hours for Raffle Rescue, and you'll get a 10% discount on any wine purchase at Florida State's Winery. That's fantastic. So a couple of things coming up, big things, and great causes, and it's going to be fantastic. Let's see. Don't forget the tip jar for this month, or is it the new month? I got to figure
this
out.
It's a new month. I haven't set up a new one yet.
Okay. It was for hospice, so that's what it says on the last newsletter. But
you collected $148 and change for hospice last month, but this is a new month, and I'm off on Thursdays, and so I didn't get a chance to set up a new one. So.
You have a day
off? Think,
when did that happen?
Yeah, really did. I think our tip jar this month is going to be for a local group that provides shelter and supplies and stuff for homeless veterans, helps them get jobs, helps them get on their feet, stuff like that. It's a veterans group, but it's a local one, and you're going to ask me who it is, and I can't think of the official name of it, but I talked to the people in charge of it. They sent me some information, sent me some flyers, and they're a local group that helps local veterans. Actually, the Bay Area, if you will, the Bay Area of West Coast here, all the way from Sarasota on up and through Pasco and on up north here. So. That will probably be our tip jar this month. So a veterans group that helps homeless and, just veterans of all types and ways to help themselves. So I'm big on veterans. That's one of passions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We'll have more details on it for the next show. And We'll have the name and give you all the information then, definitely on our next show on the 8th of August. So tune in for that. And don't forget to stop by the website at FloridaEstatesWines.com and look on the left-hand side and subscribe to the newsletter. And you'll get a lot of information and updates, recipes, wine facts, information about the shows and wine classes coming up, dates and all that good stuff. And you'll find out what the tip jar details and upcoming events. So do that, subscribe, and you'll be informed about every 2 weeks on what is happening at the winery and different things like that. So do that at the website, FloridaEstatesWines.com, and look on the left-hand side and subscribe. It'll be definitely a good read. It looks like RRV that I'm finding now, based out of Sonoma, California area is the Russian River Valley.
Russian River Valley.
I'm looking
okay.
at. Yeah, so I'm looking at. The other thing was for North Dakota or something. I forgot what it was, but yeah, quite a bit going on up there. So,
or since we're in Texas, it could be Red River Valley.
Okay.
And there were, wasn't there a song, the Red River Valley? I'm thinking there was. Old cowboy song, Red River Valley. Or a movie?
Google, it's a folk song and cowboy music, standard origins, different names, cowboy love song. Okay, something like that. Who knows? Marty Robbins? Marty Robbins.
Marty Robbins
sings Red River Valley, Woody Guthrie. Yeah, there's all kinds of. See, you mentioned something, I go right to Google. Google's my friend. There you go. So, unfortunately, I don't know how to spell it. I don't know how to spell Google, so I just go to Google, and that's a totally different website. I think,
Google.
So, yeah. All right, we will be back next August August 8th at 7 p.m. Yeah, a week from today. Join us again, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Special thanks again to Gary and Rory Eubank for being our guests tonight. Very, very cool. Really enjoyed the discussion on all the different places you've been. Very entertaining. And they really enjoyed it. So thank you very much. And thank you all for listening out there. And we will see you back here next Thursday on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, you can always call in during a live show when you're listening to us, and we can put you on the air as well with Talk Wine next week. We're closing
thank
down the show
very,
now.
Yeah,
we'll see you all.
Because we're leaving now.
Yeah.
Thanks,
<That's>
everyone.
Yeah. Have a good one. And yep.
Everyone
I didn't do this today. Yeah, okay. Here we go.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. A special thanks to our special guests who have appeared on the show, and thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in and supporting All About Wine. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page. Go to twitter.com or facebook.com/AllAboutWineBTR. We welcome your comments and questions by email at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. The email address again is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. All About Wine is a weekly program featuring Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. The winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From Interstate 75, take exit 285 and go west for approximately 4 miles. Or from US 19, the Suncoast Parkway, and US 41, go east on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., for retail sales and wine tasting. Visit the gift shop and enjoy the peaceful setting outside under a large shady canopy of oak trees. Florida Estates Winery is pet friendly, and picnics are welcome. For more information, call area code 813-996-2113. That's area code 813-996-2113. Or visit us on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Again, that's floridaestateswines.com. Be sure to subscribe to our informative bi-weekly newsletter. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio.